My name is Romanito Johnny Ferrarisi. I'm with the Indian River Research and Education Center. I'm an assistant professor of citrus horticulture.
Johnny, you talked at Citrus Expo about all the problems with growing grapefruit. We all know grapefruit has suffered the worst with HLB, and of course the river is renowned for grapefruit. You can hardly grow any over there anymore. And you said, why not look into growing round oranges on the river?
Absolutely. The idea is to look for an alternate crop, which will continue producing citrus. So we are looking to maintain that prestigious region producing citrus, and also make the growers to continue making a living out of the citrus crop.
So tell us how you've gone about that. I think you're looking at high density planting, irrigation and fertilization. But first, I think you said because of the bedded groves on the river, it's tough to do high density plantings.
Exactly. So we cannot, quite frankly, reduce the space between rows and put more trees to the acre because of this bed size. So what we need to do is to increase the number of trees in a row in order to increase the size. So changing the bed width is too expensive, costs about $3,000 to the acre to redo the bed, the reshaping, the drainage. And under the current situation where growers are struggling, so adding that cost on top of everything, it is too much. So increasing the tree density in order to compensate for that is the solution to maximize the yield per area.
And how are you increasing that density then?
So the goal is to put more trees to the acre by using staggered in diamond set planting. So we don't have a set number yet to recommend, but the idea is to find a sweet spot. What that means, finding a number that will increase the yield without compromising the overall lifespan of the grove. So there are several ways to do that. We can pick numbers randomly. We already have some baseline numbers based on the study that I just shown. So for example, using a spacing that's 9 by 5 by 3 foot, so we quite frankly get 386 to the acre, and that's too much. So we do have growers using wider spacing, so they can get around 290 trees to the acre. So we know that somewhere in between 227, which is obtained at 8 by 25, and 6 by 25, which outputs 290 trees to the acre, is the number we should target. So the idea is to conduct more trials in order to see if we can find the best tree density and hopefully the best rootstock combination to maximize that potential even more.
And what are you looking at regarding irrigation and fertilization?
We are looking to continue what we are calling the spoon feeding, which means applying water and nutrients more often based on tree demand rather than just based on a rigid schedule. So we can do that by using fertigation. We can do that by using drip irrigation. We can also do that by managing the irrigation with either weather-based or soil moisture-based techniques that will allow us to precisely identify when to turn the irrigation on and off.
And you're in the middle of all these experiments, right?
Yes, that's right. So we just concluded one with Valencia's on Kuharski. Realized that Kuharski was not the best option, even though it really makes the trees look good in the field. However, we are interested in higher yields. So we will continue the same research line reducing the tree density to get a maximum amount of trees to the acre, and then change the rootstocks, and then be able to recommend to growers what combination they can choose to perhaps stay in business in the river growing oranges, which is quite surprising. The most important thing is that we want the citrus industry to continue in the river, and that's one of the potential solutions till we find perhaps a grapefruit tree that's more tolerant or hopefully resistant.
And we don't want to go into your grapefruit studies, but you haven't given, you're also working still on finding ways to keep grapefruit productive in the face of HLB on the river, right?
That's right. So we're still working with nutritional trials in order to find the most optimal rates for the micronutrients. So we do have several studies on the, along that line. We are also improving the irrigation using weather-based or soil moisture-based irrigation management. And I am about to start the Millennium Block project, which is the largest grapefruit variety trial we could have, with all the materials that we could find attached to a rootstock trial to identify potentially better rootstocks for the river.
Historically, there's been some oranges grown on the river anyway, even though it's known as the grapefruit capital of the world. There's been quite a few oranges grown over there, haven't there?
Yes. Several traditional growers, they diversified their portfolio and they looked to produce oranges. So most of them have been accomplishing that successfully. So the river is not the best region for growing oranges, so the yield is lower, so it's that's well known. One of the most important things related to that is so growers continue growing citrus. They have sometimes the possibility to keep the cash flow, even though they are not maximizing the profits, but they can keep that and perhaps invest in better technologies for the grapefruit production, which they do best.
So, just want to improve their orange production over there.
Yeah, so there is not a big shifting from one industry to another. It's just another attempt to survive and not change the crops. So we are very limited in the type of crops that we can produce over there in large scale. So keeping the groves with oranges is a great possibility. We have people investing in lemons too, looking for potential business opportunities with different crops.
For Southeast AgNet, I'm Ernie Neff.